Hi, it's Jesse, the founder of MaxFun. We promised you a MaxFun drive this week, but things haven't exactly gone how we expected. So, given the pandemic, we're going to postpone this year's drive. Events are still fluid, so we're hesitant to give you specifics about new dates. Right now, we have late April penciled into our calendars. We'll keep you posted about that. As it stands, a lot of our drive machinery was already cranked up. So for one thing, you might hear a reference or two to the drive in our shows, which might have been recorded before we made this decision. And here is some good news. There's a bunch of great bonus content available for all of our MaxFun members. If you're a member and you missed the email with instructions on how to listen, check your spam folder or log in at MaximumFun.org/manage. Also at MaximumFun.org/manage, you can change your membership if your circumstances have changed. We know this is a tough time for a lot of people, and we understand. You can also go to MaximumFun.org/join at any time if you'd like to become a member. During the next couple weeks, what would have been the drive, we're going to do our best to be extra available to you. We've got some streaming events planned, some social media stuff. We know a lot of folks are isolated right now, and we want to help provide comfort in the best ways that we know how. You can follow us on social media, and we'll let you know what's up. During this tough time, I have been feeling really grateful for my community of colleagues here at MaxFun and for you, the folks who make our work possible. Goofy as that work may sometimes be. Stay safe out there. We're thinking of you.
The McElroy brothers are not experts, and their advice should never be followed. Travis insists he's a sexpert, but if there's a degree on his wall, I haven't seen it. Also, this show isn't for kids, which I mention only so the babies out there will know how cool they are for listening. What's up, you cool baby?
It's familiar. But not too familiar. But not too not familiar. It's a new craze. And good girls, do you wanna just say, hey, I wanna? Just say, hey, I wanna.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to... Hold on, let me open this book to a new chapter. Welcome to a new era of my brother and me, a lifestyle experience guide.
Ooh.
My name is Justin McElroy. I'm your oldest guide.
Hey, okay. This is Griffin. I go second now.
Whoa.
And I'm all about just sort of these orbs, guys.
Hi, I'm Travis.
All right.
Yep.
See, it's so weird. I will wait for 3 hours for Griffin to do his now.
Hey, it's me, Griffin, again. Just checking in about these orbs. You touched these orbs yet? No? You gotta get with these orbs, man.
Hi, I'm Travis. I'm kind of the CFO of our lifestyle brands.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not so much on the creative, but I make sure everyone gets paid and that their health insurance stays current.
He's
so
afraid of these orbs. I keep telling him nothing to be afraid of unless you drop one on your foot.
I appreciate the orbs, but I am looking at the books. And it does say here in our ledgers that we still use for some reason that
right.
It is time to pay the piper.
Oh, that's right. Yeah.
Oh, boy. Thank you, Travis, for bringing up this awkward. Now, listen, we begged Travis not to do this.
Yeah.
We begged him. We said
the
it's
creatives
a new
over
era.
Here, they were saying, like, we're focused on this, on these artisanal paper
right.
and artisanal glasses. Artisanal air, Griffin, you said at one point, which I didn't
well,
get.
Well, it's inside the orbs, isn't it?
I guess.
Something's got to be in there.
Someone, there's a piper here. There's an artisanal piper that you guys ordered, and someone needs to pay them.
So we're going to talk a little bit more about it later in the show, but should we just start telling people about what kind of new body slime
mm-hmm.
we're into and what kind of acupuncture needles were all about these days.
Do you know what's way in, Griffin?
What is it?
It's getting wet and rolling around in sand and then just getting dressed over that and going about your day. It's like a natural exfoliant.
Just having a little gritty time in the city.
Yeah.
I like this. And then to the end of the day, your boss is riding your freaking jock trying to get you to file those reports. You get home, you take a shower, pearl falls out of your butt crack.
Yep.
It can happen. It does happen every day to people like you. And now it can happen. I'm afraid Justin died.
We're going to start out with kind of a retro vibe and take a question from our listenership. And then we'll ease into some of the bigger changes.
Sure. We should point out, and you know what? We should also point out, we are recording this for the first time ever, weeks ahead of time, right. Which is why our first question is about Valentine's Day, which will seem weird when you right. hear this in like mid-March.
I collected money for a Valentine's Day singing gram for one of my professors and got $1 from one girl and $2 in quarters from a guy. The gram is $5. Then I got so dang busy, I didn't find the time to buy the gram, and their money is sitting on my desk. It's been 3 days. They haven't asked, but I know they didn't get a singing gram. Do I steal their $3 or awkwardly give it back?
Now, I just want to clarify, because Justin used the wrong word there. They know that the professor didn't get a singing gram. So the two people that this question asker collected money from are well aware that that money was not spent
on
a singing telegram.
Okay.
Is this not why Venmo was invented? Or PayPal? Or whatever.
Yeah. Sharon just sent you $2 with the note, I fucked up Valentine's Day.
Yes. It's how you send money when you're embarrassed. It's how you pay for things you're scared about. You know?
Mm-hmm.
You could call it an investment in next year's gram. Ooh. Thank you for your early support of a building on a layaway plan. A layaway gram.
There you are. Listen, it's been a while. I've been out of the game for a while now when it comes to singing telegrams for professors. But $5 seems awfully low, doesn't it?
It seems like not very much money. I don't think you can buy... This may be the only thing you can get with $5.
Yeah, a human being is going to have to use their mouth to sing in public in front of another human being who is looking at them for $5?
You could Uncut Gems it and put these... This three-ski on the horsies, on the ponies, let it ride, and say, like, if they come to you, like, hey, I do need those quarters back, you can be like, listen, it's not liquid right now. It's tied up in the ponies, isn't it?
Tell them it's not liquid. I gave this $3 to the singing guy as a deposit for him to start learning the hit song you wanted to sing, Drops of Jupiter by Train.
Yep.
But he's one of those planet professors, you know?
Oh, yeah. And,
you know.
Planetology.
He gets up there day one. He's like, my very energetic mother just served us 9 pizzas. That's the acronym. And I'll see you guys next year.
You know what's weird about that, Griffin? It's not pizzas anymore.
We can't talk about fucking Pluto. No, he cares about it. It's a planet.
Clearly.
I like it. It's small. Blah, blah, blah. It's a big rock in space, guys. There's lots of them.
Not enough.
Do you guys like a singing telegram? Like, would you like
no. that you right, up from at you your right place? Now?
Not from me right now, but like if you got one in your day to day,
I would feel threatened if that happened. Okay. If someone came up to me and said, "Hey, I have to tell you something," and started singing at me, I don't know that the feeling I would feel would be one of love or gratitude. Like, this is the thing, right? Can we all just be honest with ourselves that this kind of thing, or like delivering a big bouquet of balloons, while part of it, yes, is sweet and thoughtful. The other half is like, I want to embarrass you.
I want to fucking shame you.
Right? Like that, I'm going to make a big spectacle, because if you just stand there nodding like, yes, I deserve this and I appreciate it, like that's not how that's supposed to go. You're supposed to kind of cover your face and be embarrassed by this thing happening. Yeah. Why is that how we're choosing to show our love to one another?
Yeah, for $3. Let's see what we can... Huey, what can we do for $3? We can dump a bunch of paint on them. Do you want that? We can accidentally squeeze some toothpaste on their pants and make it look like they did have a naughty accident. Do you like that?
This is embarrassing. It's been about 16 years ago. The first Valentine's Day we were together, my now wife and I, then girlfriend, Sydney.
My now wife?
No, you can't. I didn't even open the door to it. That's actually a bat. You have to turn around 3 times and throw salt over your left shoulder, or Borat will kill you in your sleep. For Valentine's Day, there was this group that was doing like these sorts of things, but they called it a VLQ or a very large quartet. And basically, ooh, a grip of the oldest fellas you've ever seen in your entire life show up at a place and sing a song, right? And it was beautiful. It went perfectly. Sydney was at rehearsal for a play, and like they showed up at rehearsal and just like dazzled, and it was very romantic, and it was like, it was really lovely. About 6 months ago, I started thinking, did I pay those guys?
Oh,
it was
no.
not a money up. Hold on. Don't rush to judge it. It was not a money up front kind of deal. It was, you know, you do it and, you know, make a little deposit, and then we'll do the singing and you can make it right later.
That's a bad business model, old dudes, by the way.
Yeah, but they're so old and trusting. So I did this, and I got to thinking about 6 months ago, I never paid these fucking guys for this thing.
Duh,
and then I started thinking, like, I got to make this right. You know, I can get it liquid. I can get it liquid. I can get it liquid however much it costs. And then I started thinking, and this was unpleasant to consider, but most of those guys are probably... but a lot of them are probably dead. And that is when I started to feel really bad. Cause at this point I'd be paying money to like their sons,
their
singing sons,
right?
Their estates, right? Yeah. Kicking in a few bucks here and
there.
Or
it might be a Tontine situation.
Yeah.
Where the very large quartet has just been saving all the money that they make. And the last one kicking, which will probably be the baritone, let's be honest.
The only source of income the surviving members of this group need to worry about is Justin's unpaid deposit plus the juice.
Oh yeah, the juice has been flowing.
My man, we're talking six figures, bud.
Their page is still active. I mean, their website is still active, but there's no online option. So I would have to come, like, I would have to make a phone call that's like, hello, this is Justin McElroy. You probably know me from how they talked about me at the meetings for a decade. But, like, how's the juice right now?
You want us to sit here on the phone, like, on the call with you while you call them? Like, we'll be here for emotional support if you want.
Oh, that could be really good.
That would be, like, a really special thing for the Max Fun Drive episode.
Yeah, okay, hold on.
All right, but hold on a second. This can't be like our prank episode. Travis, you and I have to button it the fuck up, dude.
Yep.
You guys talk about that for a second while I do this.
And let's have Justin do a very good phone call while me and Travis really button it up.
Hello?
Hi, I had a question regarding the Thundertones.
Yes, what would you like to know?
Well, okay. I didn't think anybody would answer, so I'm a little nervous, but I think it was
no reason to be nervous.
You haven't heard. Okay, so in 2005, you all did a singing telegram for my. She was my girlfriend then, and she's my wife now. She was very touched by it, and I realized about 6 months ago that I never paid for it, and I feel really, really bad about it, and I have for quite some time, and I know that there's juice on it. I know the interest has been collecting for many years. I'm sure you all have been talking about it a lot. And I just wanted to make it right.
It's up to $3,000. No, that's not true. I was not in the group at that time, and I don't even know what kind of record. We don't have any records, I don't think, that go that far. Or if they're so buried. I will tell you this, if you want to make that right, just so your conscience will be soothed, you may send a check. Let's see, 2005. Do you remember how much it was for? Because it's now $50. I don't know what they were back then.
I mean, $50 sounds more than fair. There was a whole lot of people there. I mean, there was a VLQ, they called it, a very large quartet, which is a good joke.
Okay.
And $50 sounds fair, but if you want it to be more, I mean, I feel so terrible. You really got me over a barrel on this one.
No, not at all. I appreciate your honesty, and that is no problem at all. Why don't you just send a $50 check to the Thundertones, make it out to the Thundertones,
Okay.
And just send it to my address. I'm the president of the group. My name is, but you don't need to know that. Just make out the check to the Thundertones. And then my address is as follows.
Well, thank you so much. I really appreciate you letting me get my conscience clear. I feel like a new chapter has begun, and I'm ready to move forward with a clean conscience. I mean, for this, there's lots of other terrible things, but for this one thing, I feel good about.
I was going to say, now you can go back and return all those books that you checked out of the library that you never returned. So thank you very much for your patronage. By the way, we just finished that up, and we did 38 Valentines this year. Had two quartets go out. It was very successful. Keep us in mind for next year, and I'm sure that she wouldn't mind a reprieve on something like that.
I love that you can trust me again. History, you know, is not on my side. I'm impressed that you're willing to forgive and forget.
Well, that is no problem at all. I wasn't expecting it in the first place, and like I said, we don't have a record of it, so don't worry.
But
about
hey,
that.
You must be rolling in it now, though. 38 times 50. I'm loving that math.
Well, I tell you what, it is our largest fundraiser. We make more off this than we do even our annual show that we do in the fall.
Is that one spookier, kind of a scary thing? Lots of like haunted jump scares and stuff like that?
We did one of those. We did a show that was kind of had that theme, but no, it varies from year to year. And recently we've been going with songs that are songs that everybody's familiar with. This last one was the British Invasion, and we did a bunch from Beatles and Herman's Hermits and stuff like that. So it's a lot of fun. And if you sing, heck, come by and see us.
Okay. I'll give you just a sample and you let me know what you think. Stay a while with me. Just stick around and see what happens. What will be. And
we can work with that.
Yeah, we can work with that. That's excellent. Hey, Rick, you've been so cool. Thank you so much. My brothers put me up to this. I told them this story and they forced me to call for our podcast. And you will, that check will be rolling your way, here in a couple of days.
Tell me your name.
Justin McElroy.
Justin McElroy. Well, thank you very much, Justin. I'll look forward to that check and that amount. And also give me your contact information as well.
Yes, I'm at this is for the lawsuit, isn't it? Because I've had the juice running too long. All right, thanks, Rick. Okay. Take it easy.
Okay, you too. Thank you, Justin. Appreciate it.
Bye-bye.
No, you just got pranked, baby!
I can't believe they had forgotten about it.
No, Justin, they didn't. I can't believe Rick acted like he had forgotten about it so convincingly.
Yeah, and did you also hear how when you gave him your name with a little bit of a smile, as if he was then going to be like, oh, damn, Justin McElroy? And then there was no recognition at all, and
I didn't think he'd be like, oh, shit, Justin McElroy from podcast. I literally thought he was looking for a list of, like, shitheads.
Yeah.
I expected him to remember me from the shithead list.
Yeah, when you said Justin McElroy.
What do you think, he's a fucking Things I Bought at Sheets fan? That's why I was expecting Rick to be a fan of my YouTube series. Come on.
When you said Justin McElroy, he just reached over to the notepad in his passenger seat and marked off your name under People I Need to Kill.
Yeah.
There's also, he's from Huntington. If I said my name, it was not that he would know me. It was probably that thinking that he'd know my dad.
Yeah.
And would say, like, oh, this fucking figures.
Yeah.
Hey, you're going to, like, bleep out his address and stuff, right? So we don't dox
Rick. I hope so. Ooh, I hope so. But sometimes I don't pay very close attention to these, don't I?
Hey, maybe this could become, like, a new segment where Justin just clears his conscience, like, one thing at a time.
Cleaning out the closet. I like that.
Only bad thing I ever did, though. That's the only one.
Okay. Hey, I've got a Yahoo here. Do you want to hear it?
Sure.
Sent in by Jeanette. Thanks, Jeanette. It's Yahoo Answers user. Oh, they're anonymous.
It was Rick.
It was Rick. Asks, should the Queen move to America to get a new experience?
Yes.
I know.
Thank you.
I know so very little about the monarchy or anything, really government, to speak of, worldly speaking. So this may be coming from an uneducated place. In fact, I can confirm it is, but it seems like maybe if the queen came to America, she could have a new experience. And not just came here, not just came here to visit, got a flat, you know?
Took a lift, but we call them elevators.
Lift. Oh, well, I thought you were talking about rental car, but yeah.
Oh, no, we call those cars.
Yeah, or buggies, lorries, whatever. That's maybe she start calling them different shit, right?
Yeah.
So. Well,
yeah, what if she went back to Britain and was just like, hey, from now on, we're calling them elevators and apartments and shrimp. Enough of this shit, right?
Oh, sorry, yeah. Sorry, I bumped my shopping cart into your shopping cart. And right. That's what we now call them.
Look, there's a truck.
Bring me some cookies. And if you don't know what I'm talking about, I'm going to behead you.
Hey, can I ask you guys a for real serious question?
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
I'm sure that there's, like, you know, some courtesies extended to her and, like, diplomatic immunity and stuff. But if the queen were to come to the US of A,
yeah,
and I were to offend her, yeah, she's got no power over me, right? Like, she couldn't get me in trouble.
She could get you in trouble, probably, if she told an adult or a teacher.
But not in Britain, where I didn't bow right, and now I'm going to go to prison or something.
Right, right.
You know, I made that joke about the queen having someone beheaded for not knowing what cookies are, and it made me start to think about something.
Okay.
Back, like, several hundred years ago, the queen could definitely have someone beheaded if she felt like it.
No doubt.
We agree on this, right?
Yeah, def.
Today, the queen would say, like, off with their head, and everybody would be like, I don't think so, right? So my question is this. The last time that happened, do you think there was a sense of, like, been a good run, but I think this is the last one? I think we're wrapping up on being able to do – this has been extremely satisfying and fun – but I think we are like, the last one must have felt pretty bad for everybody to be like, I don't think we do this anymore, actually.
I don't think it was a switch flip, Jamie. I don't think it was like, oh, you know what? I don't want to do it. I think it was more of like a fade out of just like over time, people were getting less and less okay with it. And then there was one where it was kind of a squeaker where I was like, ooh, are we going to?
Yikes.
Ooh,
like the person's in the guillotine and they're like, this feels unnecessary to me. You all agree, right?
We probably shouldn't.
We should do jail.
Hey, what do you guys think about jail?
Listen,
we've got them.
It's not perfect, but I think it might be better than this. I think instead of a fade out, Travis, I think it's possible that there was a sort of crescendo where there was one day where they just beheaded like so many people and they're like, it's not even fun anymore. Like,
yeah.
I can't,
you know,
I don't
fun?
Even feel
it's
it.
It's like jazz, you know? What's fun is the beheadings you don't do.
Right.
Because that's the, think of the joy on someone's face when you get them into the guillotine and like they're blindfolded or something and you go like, do it. And like you have the sound of a lever going and like a sound of a thunk over there. But then you're like, hey, guess what? You're not going to get beheaded.
That's
right?
Fun.
That person's never going to do something wrong ever again.
Give them the old Skyrim.
It's basically
treatment.
The premise of Undercover Boss.
Yeah. It's exactly like Undercover Boss.
A friend and I often work together during class, and I want to ask for his number, so if I have any questions, I can just text him. However, I don't want him to get the wrong idea and think that I'm getting his number for any sort of romantic purpose or ulterior motive. What is a completely normal way to ask for someone's number without perpetuating the wrong idea? That's from Gmail.
You cannot do this. Don't even try.
Griffin is right. You just can't do it.
This is very relatable because I had this exact scenario and it's just not possible, I don't think. Right?
We can all agree that anytime you've ever had to say to another human being, like, can I get your number? It's so hard and it's so much, I would argue, harder to say when it is not for romantic intent, right? Because then you worry you have to then explain yourself and say, like, just in case you want to play video games together. I don't want to smooch.
Do you know what's fucked up? And this is, I genuinely cannot answer this. If I ask for, you know, if I was in college or whatever and needed to get in contact with somebody that I was like working with on something, I would feel zero presh to ask for their email address. But it's still like, yeah, it's still like talking, isn't it? So like, yeah, why does that, why is phone just like the sexy one, I guess?
Yeah, I don't know. I think it's because the connotation of like, can I get your number?
Yeah, but I think there's more to that. In this modern era, I think that it's because it's so private. Like, I don't even know your guys' phone numbers. Wait. You know, like, it's extremely private.
I definitely
like, my phone,
gave you
my phone knows it, but I don't know. Yeah, my phone knows it. I don't know it. So it's private to you. You know what I'm saying? It's a private thing.
Yeah, but I'm going to stick with my point because I've never seen a movie where somebody, like, looked at their friend across the table at a bar and, like, cockily said, like, she friended me on Facebook.
Like, I mean, that's what You've Got Mail is about. So what are you saying? And the second thing, maybe it's just that the phone, with the phone, it is intimate because you're saying, give me the buttons to press on my phone so that I may gently nestle your warm voice close to my face. There's really no way to talk to somebody on the phone without confronting the fact that you're doing whispers into each other, like directly into each other's mm-hmm. ear, basically.
Now that's fair. That is fair.
You also, I think there's an immediacy to this of like, give me your phone number. That's like saying like, hey, if I need help with school, I want you to, the second that it crosses my mind, I want you on fucking call. I don't want to send an email that you'll respond to in a couple of hours.
Yeah.
I want to know that you know I need you then.
Here, hey, it's 2020. It's 2020. Can I pitch an idea that you've just given me, Justin? Every phone.
Wait, hold on. You didn't even let me think about
okay.
it.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. Every phone should have two numbers. One that you can call and one that you can text. And you should like only give out the one that can text and reserve the one that can call for like, if you are dying, you are allowed to use this number.
That's great.
But no one is.
That's great, Travis, because you set Drops with Jupiter by Train as your ringtone. And then you're out at dinner with your friends and you hear, now she's back in the air. And you got to be like, oh, shit, something happened with my uncle. Oh, shit. Oh, no, my dad. I got to go.
Yep.
As I understand it, though, this is already how people are using phone. No one calls on phone,
yes,
right?
Right.
This draws when the line, though. Instead of getting a friend's number to work on homework, you got the number all at once. What if you did it in stages where you're like, okay, I'm comfortable enough with you to so far give you my area code.
Yeah.
We're doing it, right?
That's good.
That way it doesn't Narrow feel it down. Like a commitment yet.
The real answer to this is, you don't, you gotta reel in a third person into this and be like, hey, we should all exchange numbers. That's great. That's powerful.
Thruple.
Maybe just plan a big group hang to all go see that new movie together.
We'll work
You're
on the
it weird again.
We'll work on the paper at some point. Hey, you guys like Outback Steakhouse? Yeah, maybe we can work on
I was just blooming. Walking by. I'm not even in your class.
We should all exchange numbers, the three of us equally. The same
Who number. Are you?
Yeah.
Here is the best advice. Okay, I've got this.
Okay.
You need to give them your phone number and give them a reason to reach out to you that is non-romantic. Okay? Picture this.
If you ever need emergency toilet paper.
You walk up to this person. You be like, hey, listen, I'm not spreading this around, but I got a fucking choice sourdough starter that I would love to slice you off a bit of.
Yes.
Here is my phone number. Here is an empty jar. Let your imagination run wild of how a little sourdough starter would look in here. The price, that's not between friends. We're not going to worry about that. But you go ahead and give me a text to Ruski, and this beautiful bread baby could be headed to your house immediately. And then the cool thing about that is you get their number, and they owe you for the sourdough that you hooked them up with that one time.
Okay, right. Justin, just to clarify, just so I don't do this wrong when I attempt this, do I need to actually have a sourdough starter to use this?
Travis, if you do not have a sourdough starter, they will assume you are American Psycho 2, the squeakle. There is fucking no reality in which you cannot also have a sourdough starter on hand, ancient grains ready to rip, ready to turn that beautiful sugar into carbon dioxide and crank that bread up to its maximum fluffy potential.
Now, here's the thing. I do have a sourdough starter. I just don't know if I'm ready to give it away. Like, right. That just seems like such a big commitment.
I think this works on the platonic level, yes, Justin. Can we tweak it a little bit for a different person who wants it for a romantic level? At the bar, hanging out, someone catches your eye. Can you wander over there with an empty jar and a promise of fermentation?
I think in that case, the sourdough starter has to already be in the jar. And like you just saying, like, if you want to know more, give me a call. My number is written on the sourdough starter.
They're not going to buy the baker when they got the starter for free, you know?
Maybe you have 9 out of 10 of the sourdough starter ingredients in there. And you're like, the missing piece is me. Give me a call and we'll start something together and feel the power of sour and let the dough flow.
Not how sourdough starters work, but okay.
I don't know anything.
Yeah, that's kind of thematic.
Yeah.
Yeah. How about a Yahoo?
Yeah, yes. I love that.
This one was sent in by Level 9000, Yadru Druid, Drew Davenport. Thank you, Drew. It's from Yadru Answers user. They're anonymous. So let's call them Jamathy. Asks, why do Siberian tigers need to be so huge? Mm. Their prey seems much smaller. They need to fight Kodiak bears.
Huh.
So I don't know enough about, I think, animals in general to answer why the Siberian tiger, like what environmental sort of like challenges they had to overcome by becoming just fucking jacked, these Siberian tigers. But I'm extremely here for the idea that the Siberian tiger, big and powerful and beautiful, could challenge itself a little bit better, like more.
Oh yeah,
like it's if it's going after small rodents and rabbits and probably unlucky birds, unlucky slow birds.
Yeah, just like sleepy birds.
Sleepy birds, unfortunate explorer, adventurer.
Whatever beef it finds on the ground just laying
just
around.
Just random beef.
Ground beef.
Ground beef.
Yes. But you know what animal I think about this all the time with, Griffin? The panda.
Well, okay.
Panda.
It's not,
well, hear me out.
Okay.
The panda's just eating bamboo. It's not built to do that. It should be eating meat.
It is a bear, huh?
That's why it's sleepy all the time and does so very little and doesn't really have the power or the energy to make love because it's so sleepy all the time. And so at some point, a panda must have been chasing like a bird or a rabbit or something and be like, this fucking sucks. That plant is just sitting there. I'm going to eat that from now on.
There's so much of it everywhere. What if that was food?
I'm just going to sit here and do shit all and eat this stick and not bone anymore.
And that's the problem. Pandas aren't boning, so the numbers are going down. If we could get one just fucking battle horny, come back from defeating the huge Siberian tiger, which there are billions of probably, you know, an unlikely victory, and it comes back home and they're like, oh shit, Ron, what's up? You look like heck. And then Ron could be like, oh, I'm indifferent now. Who's ready for Ron? And then they would fucking pork like they've never porked before. And then like all of a sudden pandas are back and they are...
There's too many. They're like pigeons and squirrels.
Squirrels? Pigeons, for all the... You can talk shit about pigeons, but pigeons are out there, aren't they? So the pigeons are working out there and they are up against forces that are so hysterically beyond their control. Like, what ass can a pigeon kick? Probably not any. And so they go and they like sit on the third rail of a subway and they get like totally just bamboozled out there, and then they fly home to their nest and it's like, oh shit, rough day in the city. And they're like, yeah, it was a rough day in the city. I'm battle horny. Now let's go.
Has anyone told pigeons that like 10 miles that way is probably just a bunch of corn, that they don't like have to just
Guys,
be there?
The
in the middle of New York City. Do you think if a pigeon like heard someone mention like there are just fields of corn, they'd be like, what the fuck? Travis, I have been like mistaking cigarette butts for food for the last like 30 years.
For the last 30 generations. Travis, farmers are listening to this right now, like sweating, like, please don't tell pigeons about farms.
Please, no.
Please don't tell pigeons about my farm. Hey, where did all the tomatoes go? We had them last night. Let's look outside. Uh-oh. It's 2 million pigeons.
They're all just here now looking for statues to sit on.
Do you think pigeons in the city regularly get letters from their country cousins? They're like, well, shit still sucks out here in the country.
Yeah, it's a waste.
Fucking nothing to eat. I wish I was living it up with you eating 1/4 of a hot dog bun out of a gutter. God, that sounds good. Anyway, yeah, it's all bullshit out here. Anyway, I gotta go. I gotta have to use the bathroom. I mean, look for food.
Yeah.
That's all I get to do.
Man, I'm just gonna be thinking. Everybody's talking about unlikely animal pairings. And when they say that, traditionally they mean friendships. I'm thinking about it like top 10 anime battles. Because Kodiak Bear versus Siberian Tiger, boy, that would be one for the ages, wouldn't it?
It'd be pretty good. The problem with Jamathy's question is, like, once you start going down the road of, like, why is that tiger so big? You can do that with pretty much every animal. But, like, if that animal is smaller, it could eat less food.
Yep.
Yeah, that's a good point.
Hey, why is the blue whale eating krill? It should be eating, like, smaller whales.
Oh, my God. We need a worthy challenger for the... We all need to team up and breed something for the blue whale to sharpen itself against.
It is time for the killer whale to live up to its name.
You got it. You don't have it in size, right? But you got it in ferocity for sure. You are an X-wing, like going up against a Star Destroyer at that point. But this Star Destroyer, guess what? It only eats like little weird barnacles. You are totally good.
This is my pitch for Free Willy 6.
Yeah.
Where Willy just goes ham on a blue whale.
Right, and it's 2 hours long, and it's really hard to watch that.
But then what's that? The blue whale and Willy team up to fight a giant squid.
Animals are great. I love nature.
Yeah, and we know a lot about them.
I love nature, too. Yeah, we're very smart about them.
Okay.
Oh.
I want a mud
squad.
I want so much squad. I'm sorry, I got a cold and I realized it sounded weird, like Alfred E. Newman.
I
kind of
loved it.
I kind of enjoyed it too.
I got a Munch Squad Mini and then a full Munch Squad for you. I got combo Duncan, ads, snack, and bacon to the mini.
What?
Please tell me they used apostrophes in there.
Oh, yeah, they did. Duncan, snack, and bacon.
Is bacon a part of this too?
No, bacon's not. That'd be wild, though. They missed a trick, huh? Yeah, so Duncan adds snack and bacon to the menu. This one's bacon in a little bag, my friends. It's just bacon in a little stinky, greasy bag.
I'm glad it's not just loose bacon, though. That is better.
It is basically loose bacon, Travis. It's as close to loose bacon as you can get without being loose bacon.
Without going to prison.
Yeah.
Here's how it starts. Sack the sad snacks with the new snack and bacon.
Oh, God.
For anyone who's seeking a satisfying snack, but this one seems designed to fuck me up. I see you,
we
Duncan.
Got him.
For anyone who's seeking a satisfying snack, but is stuck with a sad selection at their desk, office, kitchen, or vending machine, Duncan is adding some extra sizzle to its menu. Hey, friends. If there is a sadder snack than bacon from a greasy little bag that you bought at the store and carried to your office, I don't know what it is. Duncan Wednesday unveiled new snack and bacon and with sweet black pepper seasoning to help on-the-go customers conquer nothing. It's not help. Help is the wildest word you could have picked. You're not helping them to do anything. They say they're helping their customers conquer their cravings without settling for tired and typical snacking choices.
Hey, Roger, what are you snacking on out of that bag there? Bacon. Just
some bacon
in a bag. Huh, Roger? Are you okay? Hey, Roger.
Yeah, the only thing that you have to imagine with this is actually walking up to the counter and they're like, what food do you want here at Dunkin' that you've gone into willingly? And the person says, I want a bag of snack and bacon for the road.
I actually think saying for here would be worse.
That would actually, I'm going to sit in the corner and listen to a podcast. Here's the full one. Einstein Brothers is going to launch a bagel and burrito mashup.
Huh.
Is it, are they just going to jam it in the fucking hole?
Basically. They announced, Einstein Brothers announced it's launching a first of its kind bagel innovation, the Bagel-rito. A bagel and burrito mashup. The Bagel-rito was available at 5 test locations in the Denver area for a limited time in October 29th. And it's going to shock you all, but it fucking cleaned up. It's sold out within hours of its announcement to the world. Why did you announce it to the world? Let Denver get a fucking crack at that beautiful bastard. Due to the wild success of the test launch and countless requests from guests who wish they could try the Bagel-rito. Valerie, how many requests have we got about the Bagel-rito? I can't count them. There's too many. They're pouring in. They're throwing them through the window.
The Bagel-matic is broken. It's exploded everywhere. Can't count that high.
It's like the end of Miracle on 34th Street in here.
Why did we set up a complex system of pneumatic tubes from every Einstein Brothers location into our home base? So the Einstein Brothers Bagels is making the game-changing breakfast item available to guests across the U.S. at participating locations. And the tone of this announcement is that they think they're ready for Bagel-ritos, but they're not fucking sure, okay? They're on the very edge. Quote, "We heard our guests loud and clear," says Taka O'Rourke, VP of Marketing for Einstein Brothers Bagels. They always have to clarify what company they're the VP of marketing of. It'd be wild if the VP of marketing at Ford is like, they got nasty new bagels. Hey, this place got nasty new bagels. Cars are still cool, but check out these nasty bagel tubes. Given the popularity of the Bagel-rito during the Denver test, we knew we couldn't keep this breakfast innovation from the rest of the country for too long. We just needed a bit of time to ensure our bakeries are set up to meet the volume of orders we're expecting. On February 27th, we will be ready. Constantly pushing the boundaries of the classic bagel, Einstein Brothers Bagel has taken it to the next level with the Bagel-rito.
Has taken it too far.
Too far. They've crossed the Rubicon and made a shame before God. It's loaded with 2 cage-free eggs for that animal cruelty conscious consumer that also wants to eat a bagel shaped like a fucking tube. And it's got thick cut bacon from, I'm assuming, inhumanely raised pigs.
They make the pigs.
And turkey sausage. Let's get them all in there.
They make the pigs watch the chickens run around.
Come back here, cow. You don't get out. We need 3 cheeses from you. And potatoes, your non-sentient state will not preserve you. There's hash browns in this bad boy and salsa and green chilies and a flour tortilla, all hand-wrapped in an Asiago bagel dough and baked fresh. And what a relief that machines aren't involved in this process. I'm glad humans have to use some of their time here on this big blue globe to roll these bagel tubes for me. It's substantial size, high flavor, and portability has earned
high flavor
it
is a good high term. Flavor I like is good. High flavor.
The high flavor and portability, folks.
Thank God. Bagels have been so cumbersome up till now. And burritos, too.
Yeah. Yeah, friends, I'm here to ask you, what is the last item that you bought at a fast food place where you're like, well, I can't take this anywhere. Look at this. Look at this heavy. I can't carry. What am I, to carry it to another location? The high flavor and portability has earned it its slogan, big, bold, and easy to hold.
Oh, boy.
Who are these people that have a regular bagel and they're like, whoop, drop the damn thing.
Oh, fuck. Now it's rolling
again?
Away.
Again? And hey, friends, I'm looking at this thing. It's a big loose tube full of garbage. This is not a portable solution. Just this is closed at the bottom. You're going to have bagel juice slipping out. Anyway, that's the Bagelrito. Looks pretty good. I would probably eat one, and it's available at Einstein Brothers now.
Next time I'm out to eat a restaurant, I'm just going to silently open up the salt shaker and dump it all over my meal. And then when Rachel asks, like, hey, what are you doing? I can now confidently answer, I am turning the flavor too high. The flavor is not at high right now. I need maximum flavor.
It's what I deserve as a consumer.
Yep.
I deserve no less. We rarely go out. It's hard to find a babysitter.
What am I going to eat? Regular flavor?
I deserve high flavor. We'll get out of your hair now. Once again, maximumfun.org/join.
That sounds like we're like backing out the door. We've been trying to sell you some brushes and combs.
All right. Well, you've been a gracious host. maximumfun.org/join. Thank you so much. And thank you to John Roderick in the Long Winters for the use of our theme song, It's a Departure, off the album Putting the Days to Bed. And we're about to put this episode to bed because Fish and Friends go bad after 3 days. Right, guys?
What is that? Are we fish?
Griffin, do you have a final Yahoo?
We're friends. This one was sent in by Johannes. Thank you, Johannes. It's from Yahoo Answers user T, who asks,
dude, I just recently discovered a new way to eat oats.
My name is Justin McElroy.
I'm Griffin McElroy.
This has been my brother, and me. Kiss your dad square on the lips.
MaximumFun.org.
Comedy and culture.
Artist owned.
Audience supported.